Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place. In thy fear will worship there. And what follows Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 6, the verses 10 through 24. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians 6, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how we do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, I shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary Hospital, and Mrs. Nell Van Harten, also in the Calgary Hospital, but has received a weekend pass and may be in Bethesda till Monday evening, and Mr. and Mrs. Gerald and Corrine Liefding, who commemorated their 25th wedding anniversary this past Monday. Angela Clark, who hopes to commemorate her birthday tomorrow. Mrs. Kraini Vimanen, who hopes to commemorate her birthday this week. And Mrs. Hermina Hubrexa, who hopes to commemorate her 87th birthday. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when in the morning hour of this day, when thou hast permitted us and our dear children to come up to thy courts, and we attempt as a people to call upon thy most holy name, then we are so dependent upon thee, and then each time by renewal, then we do well with the disciples to pray, Lord, teach us to pray, that we may understand our manifold and great needs aright, that we may be given to see that we are unworthy of the least of those blessings on account of our many sins, also of the past week, and already in this morning hour, that we may be filled with that profound reverence to receive an impression unto whom we speak, where thou art that great and majestic God in the heavens, and that thou hast all of our lives in thy hand, and also given to believe that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and that thou can only answer poor petitions through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, who sitteth at thy right hand. Lord, then thou hast granted many precious things also in the past week, although trials, troubles, and losses, wilt thou grant the strength necessary each to bear those burdens, to spare from rising up against thee, but that also the trials and the afflictions, that they may come out of thy right hand, and that they may be used for the welfare and the saving of never-dying souls. And then may it be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our dear children. Oh, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. Then the day of tomorrow has been set aside for a special day of thanksgiving. But Lord, if it is right, and wilt thou make it right by the first time and by renewal, then each day ought to be a day of prayer and a day of thanksgiving. And then it is a privilege on the weekdays, on a Sabbath day, that it may be a special day of prayer with special and particular needs, not only outwardly, but above all inwardly, but that there may also be those special days of thanksgiving, that there may be that humility and that bewonderment who receive such blessings, such sinners as we are. Ah, Lord, then we may humbly ask thee that thou may grant such a day on this Lord's Day, and that shall only be by the work of thy Holy Spirit, and to that end do come down with thy Spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood, and work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Lord, may it please thee to convert the unconverted, and may it please thee in this day that the unconverted may truly become unconverted, that they may be given to see their great danger under thy wrath and under thy curse, only a step between them and death, and that it shall be so terrible to have to meet thee without that regenerating work in our heart, thy love shed abroad in our heart, and to appear before thee with that precious mediator. Ah, may there have come up souls in this day when they think of the day of tomorrow, another day of thanksgiving, that perhaps they have laid it before thee and told thee that they are still unconverted, and that they have begged thee that on this Lord's Day they may be placed under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be given that spiritual armor to fight the battles of the Lord. Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Thou knowest their riddles, their questions, their perplexities. Thou knowest their weakness, at times that they feared that they shall succumb in the battle. They learn more and more, and no strength in self, but may it all be used by thy Spirit to make room for the first time, but each time by renewal, for the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come upon this earth and who has defeated, bruised the head of the prince of darkness, and therein the victory of thy church, Elias sure. And may they then be encouraged in the strife with that triple-headed enemy. Lord, may it please thee to richly bless thy holy word in this day over the length and the breadth of the earth, that the kingdom of Satan may be diminished. Oh, he has but a short time, and that thy kingdom may be enlarged, and that thou may glorify thy own work. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. They are also manifold. And when in this day, then outwardly, when thou grantest relative prosperity, that we may be given to stop, then it is necessary that we also commend those families, those individuals unto thee, because when thou grantest prosperity, it is written in thy word of the children of Israel, that when Jeshurun has waxed fat, that they kick backwards, to forget thee, the benefactor of all things, and to use our strength and health only for self and for selfish ends. Lord, we remember the sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter still in the hospital. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that the means may be further blessed, and that the physicians may feel comfortable with dismissing her from the hospital. Then thou continuest to knock on the door of her heart. My daughter, give me thy heart. Wilt thou continue to uphold the family circle? We commend unto thee the widow who was admitted to the same hospital, and thou knowest the concerns. Thou hast already given some improvement and encouragement, and that for a few days she may return to Bethesda, but is called upon to return. And may it please thee to continue to bless the means. And above all, Lord, then thou art also speaking in this way, in a special way, and may it be sanctified for the saving of her never-dying soul. Wilt thou so remember all the afflicted ones, all those undergoing treatments? Wilt thou uphold with the fears and with the cares, and may the treatments be blessed. Remember those that struggle with weakness and difficulties of the mind. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones and all the mourning ones amongst us, where there are very many, O Lord. Wilt thou continue to uphold and to strengthen, grant a place at thy footstool when they are overwhelmed, and that above all the solemn callings, that they may be used in the lives of young and old, that they may be given to earnestly seek thee while thou mayest be found. We remember a husband and wife who in the past week were privileged to commemorate with their children that thou wast spared for 25 years in the bond of holy matrimony. And Lord, the way has not always been easy. Their ways have went through deep waters. Many times it seemed impossible ways, but thou wast brought hitherto. Wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart? Wilt thou continue to uphold and remember, especially, Mother, thou knowest the difficulties, and above all, Lord, do remember that family circle. Wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit? We now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Do open thy holy testimony and open our hearts. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou grant a little rest in thy house? Wilt thou bind the devil? Bring us safely to the end of the service, because we also need to be spared in thy house each church service. Teach us more how brittle our life is, and that we need thee for everything, Lord. We are so dependent, and yet we can live so independently. Bind us as a people more and more, as poor beggars at thy throne of grace, and that there may be a people those times that the high praises of the Lord may be in their mouth with that vehement desire that thy kingdom may come, thy name may be glorified. May the prayers have been multiplied in this morning hour, in the past night to that end. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay. And what follows, Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 6 and thereof the 17th verse. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our text words speak of the last two items of the whole armor of God. Two thoughts: in the first place, the helmet of salvation, and in the second place, the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Beloved congregation, in this morning by renewal, then we shall speak of the Christian soldier with his spiritual armor. And then it is needful, then we do well, and I hope that there may be a people exercised with those matters. Also, when in the day of tomorrow, when the Lord grants another day of thanksgiving, that we are given to examine our hearts and our lives, whether we have become a soldier by the free and sovereign grace of God in this past season of Jesus Christ, or whether we are still a soldier in the enemy's camp. Because even our children can understand it when we are still an enemy, when we are still under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. And of course, there is a difference in an army. And then you have soldiers that stand on the front line. Oh, how terrible it is to be a soldier on the front line of the devil. Then we are in an extremely dangerous position, because the anger of the Lord, we have the examples out of the scriptures, that the anger of the Lord is kindled against us in special ways. But nevertheless, when we are a soldier, even more at the backward parts of the army, or a mother or a child in the kitchen, then we still belong to that people. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, the King is still calling. The King is still recruiting. There are still soldiers that he needs to fight the battles of the Lord. May you be given to earnestly and seriously seek to belong to that people of the Lord. And then the distinction, oh, it is written in the Bible, those that have been wrought upon by the Spirit, it is true. The riddles and the questions can be manifold, but they may find their life at times declared in the Scriptures also concerning that spiritual strife. And now those soldiers, then they shall be exercised, oh, it is true. those true soldiers, they have many reasons to be ashamed, to write bitter things against themselves. They are not what they ought to be. Nevertheless, those true soldiers of Jesus Christ, then they are exercised with the coming of his kingdom and exercised with the glory of his name. And then a mark which we have heard at the end of this chapter, in the last verse, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We have heard the exhortation to the church of God that they must put on the whole armor, all the armor of God, and that is an armor that has been merited by Jesus Christ and which is given to his church by the Holy Spirit. They need to be taught how to use that armor in the way of defense and offense. And then, boys and girls, then perhaps you can remember that we have already spoken of four items of that spiritual armor. And then what was the first piece of that armor? That was the girdle, the belt of truth. And then in the second place, then we have heard of the breastplate of righteousness, because then you have heard that there our heart, our lung is, and when an arrow penetrates those organs, that is mortal. So the breastplate of righteousness, that is similar to a wedding garment, that speaks of justification and sanctification. And then further, then we have heard from verse 15 the last time, those spiritual shoes, that they may be able to fight the battles of the Lord, not slippers or sandals. And then further, then we have heard above all taken the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And now in our text, it speaks of two more parts of the armor of the Christian soldier. And then the question could be asked concerning the order then we have stated. Maybe you can remember, boys and girls, because when we see a soldier fighting, then we would think the most important, that is the shield to catch the arrows of the enemy, and that is the sword in the right hand. But then we have told you it is in the order because you can understand it, that if the soldier has the sword and the shield, then he cannot put on his belt and his shoes. Thus it is in a particular order. But then you shall say, but the last time we have heard that he was commanded to take the shield of faith in one hand, but then we must understand that to put his helmet on, that could be done with one hand. And now we read, and thus that is the connection with the former. Oh, the Christian soldier, he needs to be armed fully, because the wiles of the devil, and the devil knows our weak spots, our bosom sins, were to shoot those fiery arrows that burn as fire. And therefore, and take the helmet of salvation. Thus our first point that concerns the helmet that covers our head and our brain. That is a very important part of that armor, because children, you can understand, it is true that they tell us in Bible times that many times that shield was broad and high, but of course it may not be too high, because the soldier needs to look, and then the enemy shall try to shoot arrows at his head. And when such a soldier is wounded in his head, that many times is very mortal, and therefore the command to take the helmet of salvation, and that is to protect our mind, our understanding. Oh, the devil, he works upon our will through the means of the understanding, our passions, and our imagination. And therefore, the Christian soldier, he needs that helmet of salvation, not separated from the girdle of truth, a proper understanding, because we read in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook concerning that true saving faith, that it consists of three parts, and those three parts are older ones, soon hope to start catechism instruction, and then I hope that fathers and mothers also have an active part, that they are given to ask their children, of course, to memorize their questions to the best of their ability, but what they have learned, that is also necessary for fathers and mothers. Thus, fathers and mothers, Reverend Hellenbrook, then he has stated that the true saving faith that consists of three parts. And can you now all tell me in this morning what those three parts are? Then we see how necessary it is also for older ones concerning that truth, that each time by renewal we are given to hear it and to speak about it. Then Reverend Hellenbrook, knowledge, assent, and truth, thus concerning that helmet of salvation, the salvation, the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, and how the Lord converts his people, concerning the old truths and the old ways, then it is necessary that we have a helmet. And that is necessary for all of us, because we are bombarded from all sides, and more so with all the technology, with ungodly, unscriptural notions concerning the truth and concerning our walk, also much deceit in the way of religion. And to that end, boys and girls, young and old, then we need a helmet that may protect us from all those ungodly and unbiblical thoughts which are greatly increasing in our day. When we were young, of course, young people, it was far from perfect, but nevertheless, God's word still had a place in many a family circle. Many more people went up to God's house, even though we did not agree what was taught. Nevertheless, the scriptures were opened. But now our Western countries, they are returning to heathenism, And therefore it is so necessary, do we not read in Psalm 1, the first verse, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, and finally sitting with them." Then we see there is a progression. Then the world, they try to teach the inhabitants. We call it humanistic secularism. And then what does the world teach in the first place? Then they still view man as relatively good, that he is not a fallen creature. And if we give our children room to bud, not too much discipline, then they shall flower, and then the world shall become a better place, has been promised for many years. Then in the second place, then they view the human mind as supreme, and that if you give mankind some time, then they will solve the difficulties of the world. In the third place, they do not believe that the Lord has created the heavens and the earth and upholds everything by his providence. Then they are given to believe in chance. In the fourth place, only to live for the time and for the pleasures of the flesh, and with no eye to the glory of God and eternity. And take the helmet of salvation. And now that helmet for the Christian soldier, when he may wear that helmet, that may grant him a certain courage, when his head is covered, when he fights the battles against the enemies. And now concerning that helmet, then I read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 that it is also called the helmet of the hope of salvation. Thus that helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation, that may grant that soldier courage, that may grant him zeal. Oh, it is necessary that it is a well-grounded hope, because many are also deceived. There can be much zeal without knowledge. And now concerning that hope, oh, what an enemies that hope has. Then in the first place, that unbelief. In the second place, the devil. In the third place, also our character. Think of a Thomas. There's difference in characters. And a Thomas many times saw things from the dark side, easily discouraged. That can also be an enemy in the life of a child of God. And then further contrary providences, unfulfilled promises. And then what enemies those soldiers have. And we read in Romans 15, verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Thus the necessity that the Christian soldier has the helmet of salvation, not a false helmet of hope based upon feelings, emotions. We need the work of grace glorified in our heart. And I read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, we need to become exercised what is necessary for those soldiers. Not only form and duty, also necessary. Also in the church, that there is form. Because in an army, then even those soldiers, there can be days that they are discouraged and that it is not so lively in their heart concerning the country and concerning the king. But then they are still called to fight the battles of the Lord. But the king requires a heart full of love. Oh, that they may have by an eye of faith, that they may be given to look upon the king under whose banner they have been placed, and that king the precious promises in his word for his people and for his soldiers. Oh, then it is necessary, the closer to the captain, the better, people of God. And I read in Psalm 60, verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed. And our text says, and taken the helmet of salvation. And now it is necessary for those soldiers that they practice much. We read of a David when he went to fight with that giant. What was his name, boys and girls? Goliath. And that Saul desired to give David his armor, but then he has said, I have not proved them. And therefore, he has not went with that armor. Thus, it is necessary that those soldiers are given to exercise much concerning the things of the Lord. And to that end, this portion of Scripture that has begun, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not trusting in the armor. It's not for ornament. On the other hand, if we think of soldiers, boys and girls, then they are all dressed in a special way that brings respect. And nevertheless, they receive that armor to fight the battles of the Lord. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let us first sing Psalter 428, the stanzas 8 and 9. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep as always I have striven. And what follows, Psalter 428, the stanzas 8 and 9. the last two items of the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, and now secondly, the sword of the Spirit. We find in the Bible that the sword is mentioned about 450 times. Was the main weapon that was used many times by soldiers. When we consider the sword, it is true not completely missing in the first five items, but then the sword, it is true also used in the way of defense, but a sword is also used in the way of offense. Offensive, it is true. The spiritual shoe was also necessary that they may go to the enemy and fight the battles. But then our children can understand that the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, that is more to protect the body. But now the sword, it is true in the way of defense, but that is also used to go out to the enemy to attack and to destroy them. And that is necessary for the church. And the church can be so introvert, so centered and worried about self, and not worried enough about their fellow man. Oh, when we think of Paul, who was a Christian soldier indeed, then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, "And knowing the terror of the Lord, we beseech men." And in verse 14, "The love of Christ constraineth us." And in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And that is now necessary for the church. We think in the early church, where the church, where there was much misunderstanding and much slander, then there were men whom the Lord has raised up. They were called apologists, who have defended the truth of God's word. If we think of Guido de Bree with the confession of faith that was formulated that the king and the world would understand what the church truly believed. And so the church also has their calling and duty, and it is a blessing that amongst us that there are also men involved in politics. Not easy in the time that we live, but that we may be given to declare what the word of God says. And when we speak of the Christian soldier, then maybe many are thinking of men, and it is true. We need to make the separation where there is much confusion, also with occupations. But let us remember, where does that training now begin? That begins in the home. It is true. Fathers, they are the head of the household. Also the responsibility concerning the instruction of the children. And fathers, may you feel your responsibility with another season of instruction, that you leave it not all to your dear wife, but because of the special and beautiful place that the mother has in the home with the little children. That's where the training of the soldiers began. Philip Melanchthon, do you know who he was? Also good. The winter months are approaching. That also in the family circles that we read of church history, that we may be given to see what those soldiers, how they have fought, what they have sacrificed, even given their lives for the precious truth that we and our children may possess. What a responsibility we have to keep and to guard that heritage concerning the doctrines of free and sovereign grace and concerning the old ways. And Philip Melanchthon, because in the time of Reformation, there was much discouragement. And then it is told us that one morning Philip Melanchthon, that he left in the morning very, very downcast and discouraged. But then he came back later in the day, and he was quite uplifted. And then Martin Luther says, Philip, what has now taken place that you have come home so different than you have left? Then Philip Melanchthon could tell that he has heard that little soldiers were being trained concerning the things of the Lord. That he came past the dwelling, and there he heard a mother instructing her children in the catechism, asking them to say their questions that gave Philip such courage. This mother's, what a beautiful place, a God-given place you have with your little children at home when they are still young, and that you may be given to instruct them prayerfully concerning the things of the Lord. And now we read in our text words, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is called the sword of the Spirit because he is the author of it. He is the teacher how to use that armor, and he makes it powerful. We read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus it is not by force. There have been those also, Charlemagne, sometime called Charles the Great. He became king of the Franks in the year 768, was used in the special way for the protection and the upbuilding of the Church of Jesus Christ. But at different times concerning different heathen nations, when they were not subdued, then he has tried to force them by the sword to accept Christianity, but he has discovered that is impossible. Thus the sword of the Spirit that speaks of teaching, the proclamation of law and gospel, the word in the home, in the church, and in the school. Christ has given the command to the disciples in Matthew 18, verse 19, that they must teach all nations. And also in Luke 24, verse 47, repentance and remission of sins unto all nations. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child when he is young, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6, Psalm 78, many commands that the word must be brought, that there must be teaching and instruction, and it needs the work of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How many churches have departed from the biblical way, that they have brought in entertainment and other things into the house of God to try to keep the youth, but we know it shall never prosper, it shall never be blessed, and therefore also the calling to guard the sanctity of God's house. Because the Lord has promised to gather his church by word and by spirit. And now concerning that sword, then I read in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it is called a two-edged sword in the first place, that everything that is of self, our self-righteousness, that it may all be cut asunder and that it may be destroyed. A two-edged sword to separate between the precious and the vile, to establish the truth, and to destroy heresy. Oh, with two-edged sword, to make room for the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the power of him of whom I read in Psalm 45, verse 3, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty ride forth. Do we not read in Revelation 6 verse 2 of Christ who sat on the white horse and that he had a crown upon his head? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What examples we have in the scriptures where that word was made mighty by the Spirit. Oh, think of Nathan and 2 Samuel 12 when he went to David. For more than 9 months, seemed there was nothing that was able to convince David to come on the right place. But then Nathan has come by the command of the Lord, thou art the man. And then everything was finished with David. Wash me with hyssop, against thee only have I sinned. Think of that young King Uzziah. Began to seek the Lord in his 8th year. A great reformation. The temple was cleansed. The book of the law was found. And that was as a sword of the Spirit. Also for Uzziah, he has inquired. And then what a reformation it has brought forth in the kingdom, although for many it was evident with the next king that it was not truly with their heart. Oh, think of Jesus. Matthew 4, when the devil has come with his three temptations, thus it is written. Think of Jesus with the Pharisees. Each time he is brought forth, it is written in the Word of God, and they were silenced, it is true, with many. It is wrought enmity, nevertheless they were silenced. Oh, think on the day of Pentecost, the preaching of the apostles was as a mighty sword used by the Spirit, that 3,000 enemies were made friends. They were pricked in their heart. Men and brethren, what must we do? Thus it is true, is the last piece of armor that is described, but not the least important, we have stated it first, was especially for defense, but now the sword that is also for the offensive, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, think how many missionaries have went with that sword, only with the word of God, among cannibals, people that were living in darkness, enemies of free and sovereign grace, and it is true. Many missionaries, they have written of times that it seemed that it was also still plowing upon the rocks. Nevertheless, the word has been brought. Think of the apostles that in some centuries the Roman Empire became a Christian nation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. An unknown author has written concerning that word, that it is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. People of God, how goeth it with the battle? And how is it with that Christian armor? Then I hear a soul say, if I now had that assurance that I was truly a soldier of Jesus Christ, then it would be so much easier, so much courage, because many times as a soldier, then I pause and I halt, and I am afraid that it is still amiss what is then necessary to make your calling and election sure, not to rest upon anything outside of that sure foundation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, for those Christian soldiers, when that love may be more in their heart, and when their fellow travelers may be bound more also upon their heart, then they shall be enabled to go forward and to be given to fight the battles of the Lord, more exercised with the coming of his kingdom, the glory of his name. By renewal, the question: under whose banner are we fighting? Two kingdoms, not a third. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to seriously beg of the Lord that you may be drawn and placed under that banner, and that you may receive that spiritual armor to fight for the things of the Lord and for the church. What an examination concerning that armor. And then those Christian soldiers, they know what it is to be discouraged, disappointed, to sit down. They know what it is to be wounded, arrows in their heart, fiery arrows, that they are so faint and weak. But we have mentioned the captain. On the battlefield, there is that Christian hospital, and there is a remedy for each particular case. There is that great physician, Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead, no physician there? Why is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? And then for those Christian soldiers, then it is necessary what we read in Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Amen. Let us close. Lord, wilt thou grant the application? Wilt thou grant meditation? Wilt thou grant prayer? And that we may turn in unto ourselves and examine the day before Thanksgiving under what banner we are, Lord. May on this Sabbath day, by the sword of thy word, by thy spirit, may soldiers be added to that number that may be given to fight the battles of the Lord. Wilt thou grant unto thy true people strength and courage, a zeal and love, and they have many reasons to be ashamed when we consider thy church of old, time of persecution, what they were willing to endure, what they were willing to sacrifice. But, Lord, thou art the same. Thou art that glorious King. May many be aroused to a holy jealousy. Wilt thou now graciously watch over us in this day? Help fathers and mothers to speak to their children. Grant traveling mercies. And return us in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 346, the two stanzas. To the hills I lift my eyes. When shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and earth has made. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be Thanksgiving Day services tomorrow at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The collection tomorrow will be for the church unless otherwise indicated. 346, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.